Welcome to Head Games Radio on Friday, which focuses for the most part on U Sports, and we'll be having Fred Eng from the National Alliance for U Sports and Dr. Andrew Jacobs in the second half hour of today's show, talking with Al Rosenfeld about when to say when. How many kids today, which is a growing phenomenon, are being pushed too hard too early? But before we do that, we're going to spend the first half hour talking about the racism in sports, the violence in sports, the expectations in sport. What messages are we sending by how these very powerful media role models are behaving on the public arena? And we're joined by Kevin Young, a Major League Baseball player for a number of teams, a guy that knows a little bit about growing up in Kansas City and knows about that role. Kevin, thanks for joining us.
Oh, Nick, thanks for having me.
Kevin, this is an interesting subject, and it's fun when we have people on that are comfortable talking about racism, not necessarily in an inflammatory way, but simply on trying to find the truth in what's happening out there and the difference between what athletes do and what the rest of the population does. And somebody who studies this for a living, who has been on the show many times before, one of the great thinkers in sport, Peter Robey from the Center for the Study of Sport and Society. Peter, how are you?
I'm doing great, Nick. Happy holidays, and thanks for having me on.
Happy holidays to you. Let's start first with Peter. As you looked at what happened with the Knicks brawl, and you followed, you were the basketball coach at Harvard, you followed through Reebok, you were very closely working with a lot of people in the NBA, and you look at the reaction to the brawl with the Nuggets and the Knicks. How much of it is the intimacy of basketball, do you believe, and how much of it is perhaps the perception, as Charles Barkley says, that this is a black league?
Well, I don't think the fact that I don't think race has anything to do with what we're seeing on the court. I think it has a lot to do with how people perceive themselves in terms of being a man and a professional athlete, maybe, and what their ideas around masculinity are, and maybe some of the unwritten rules about how people are supposed to handle things with regard to sports. And you know, when you're up by a certain number of points late in the game, do your starters stay in the game and all that sort of stuff, that kind of expectation can lead to what we saw during the Knicks game and what we've seen over the years with the Ron Artest brawl and that sort of thing. But
we're going to go to a break here, and when we come back, let's talk about that and more with Kevin Young and Peter Robey. It's radio, it's the best on Sirius Satellite. Stay with us.
When other people say, sorry, sold out, Tickets Now says, where would you like to sit? You like to control your own destiny. You do what you want to do, and you go where you want to go. Why not sit where you want to sit? Tickets Now has the choice seats for every major sports, concert, and theater event in North America. From the 50-yard line to orchestra seats to courtside, Tickets Now has the seats you really want. With Tickets Now, buying tickets is easy, and each transaction is backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go to ticketsnow.com today, where the words sold out are not a part of our vocabulary. ticketsnow.com. That's ticketsnow.com. ticketsnow.com. ticketsnow.com.
Hi, everybody. This is Nick Lowry, and I want to tell you about the most beautiful golf course I've ever played. It's called Quintero. It's already ranked in the top 10 in the country as a real estate golf course. I'm telling you, it is the most outstanding combination of beautiful fairways and views you will ever see. If you want to join one of the most outstanding new private courses in the country, go to QuinteroGolf.com or call 888-417-8468. That's 888-41-QUINT or 888-417-8468.
Hi, this is Marty Terrell. Join me Saturday nights, 10 o'clock Eastern till 1 a.m. It's the Weekend Sports Page. You'll hear from Bob Ryan of the Boston Globe, ESPN, the sports reporters, Dick Hoops White's New York Daily News on the world of college football and college basketball, and a weekly contribution from New York Times best-selling sports author John Feinstein. The Weekend Sports Page, 10 East, here on the Sports Byline USA Broadcast Network and Sirius Channel 122.
This is Nick Lowry, and I'm here to tell you about HeadGamesRadio.com, the official website of Head Games Radio. If you can't listen to the show every day, just go to HeadGamesRadio.com and join the Head Games team. you get to listen to Head Games highlights from our superstar guests. As a member, you'll be entitled to exclusive offers and information, so register with us so we can send you updates and special giveaways that non-members just can't get. Stay tuned. Check out headgamesradio.com. Email us and join the Head Games family.
Are you a sports trivia fanatic? Why not turn your sports addiction into a career? Former Sports Byline host David Brody, president of Broadcaster Marketing Services, is ready to help you launch an exciting career as a professional sportscaster. Let BMS teach you how to break into the business. BMS will produce your demo, create your resume, and guide you along as you enter the most thrilling profession known to man. Call BMS at 205-979-4577. Visit us on the web at sportsbroadcastingcoach.com.
Yes, I was fired. It happens to most coaches. Well, what are you going to do? Are you going to just lie there in the fetal position and whimper?
Kevin Young, former Major League Baseball player, Peter Roby joining us from the Center for the Study of Sport and Society. And Kevin and Peter, I wanted you to hear Seth Joyner talking about how tiring it is to have all athletes lumped into the same basket.
You know, you're going to have some guys that step outside of the bounds that think they're bigger than the game itself, and you have to deal with those guys accordingly. I just hate the fact that all the apples get thrown in the same bunch, and the outlook is the same for all players, no matter what league it is, that, oh, that's just the way you guys are. No, that's the way some of the guys are, just like in your opening. You know, 98% of the guys do the right thing, 2% do the wrong thing, but, you know, the 98 are the ones that get thrown in the heap with the 2%, and it's not fair to the guys that do things the right way and lead their lives in the proper way.
That's Seth Joyner. Starting with Kevin Young, does that resonate for you?
Well, absolutely, Nick. I think a lot of times what happens is exactly what Seth was explaining. But we look at this whole incident and many incidents like it, and when it comes down to me, it's very simple. If you don't have a lot, you really do whatever it is to protect that. And it just so happens that in the NBA's instance, the majority of the league happens to be African-American, and, you know, a lot of them come from not having a lot. But at the same point, when they do that, it's a mentality more than it is a thing based on race. When you don't, you end up protecting a lot of different things in a lot of different ways, and ego comes forth and shows itself at the most opportune times in a competitive nature. So I think that's really a big thing that's been noticed, that a lot of these athletes, when we get out there and we participate in sports, and the team sports in particular, once we get that blood flowing and things of that nature, and we get challenged to a certain degree, the mentality kicks in that I have to protect this, and I have this persona that I have to put forth, and that's when it comes out in sometimes violent ways.
Peter Roby, you work with athletes at all levels. Some would argue that it's pretty difficult to change the culture when these are some of the most testosterone-laden, intense, competitive people, and egos are a part of it. How have you found success in helping athletes see themselves as not only as role models, but simply understanding that there's a better definition of manhood?
Well, I think one of the things we've been able to do is appeal to their sense of leadership and get them to understand that a lot of what we're talking about is just about acting like a leader, trying to get them to define their own definitions of leadership and put those on the board and refer back to them in the course of a workshop or whatever. And point out some of the examples. You know, when we're on the field of play and one of our teammates is in trouble with the referee or the official, we try to take them out of that situation and calm them down so that they don't put the team in any more of a disadvantage or put themselves at risk. And then we ask them, why wouldn't we want to do that in other social situations? If we feel that sense of obligation to their teammate on the field, it should carry off the field. So the idea that you can to be there for each other and have each other's back, we try to put different definitions of what that might look like and challenge them to live that on a more consistent basis.
Peter, one of the things I found interesting, and Kevin, I like your impression of this, because you work with youth, and it's so important to you to help youth understand what sports is really about. You, Peter, have a very important role for the bystander, the person that's not directly involved in the conflict that can do so much more.
Yeah, well, we try to promote the idea of the power of the bystander, because in many situations, if a person says something that that deflects the attention or gives people a way to extract themselves from a volatile situation, they may oftentimes take it. We try to refer to the old high school fight scenario where people square off in a high school and people surround them and they egg each other on. So it's almost like impossible for you to decide that you don't want to do that, as opposed to having a teammate say, hey, you know, your coach told us if we get in trouble, we might not be able to play in a tournament game, and it gives you an out. And so you're looking for social permission sometime not to have to necessarily live up to some expectation that you probably yourself don't even agree with. And teammates can be that for each other, and people in general can be there for each other if they know what kind of role they can play.
Now, roles, Kevin, there are roles in terms of you're sitting in the dugout, and one of the pitchers on the other team hits your teammate. He's done it two times before. Everybody runs on the field. There are some unspoken roles in terms of participating and backing your team. How do you resolve that with the notion that, you know, you're not trying to encourage violence on the field?
Well, I mean, like you said, it's two things that take place. One, that you have to let your teammate know that you're there for him, to support him and back him up, whether the decision he makes right or wrong. And that just goes with being a team sport. You spend 6 months with these guys, you spend more time with them than you do your family. So you have to have that as a team. The other part, like it was spoken before, was that you got to put yourself in a position where you're not really to inflame the situation any more than it already is. So to try to find a way to de-escalate the situation is what you want to do. But like as we said before, a lot of times some of the guys with the most calmest heads, sometimes they'll snap in an instance, and it's just a buildup of frustration on certain things that you just have to try to protect yourself and have that team effort in doing that. So it's a very difficult situation to do in the heat of the moment, and as you can see, a lot of times we make bad decisions.
And of course, baseball, there is the criticism that, you know, baseball, there are only 9% African-Americans, and here you have the NBA with this brawl between the Knicks and the Nuggets, and it's 75%, 70% African-American. Peter, do you see a distinction between the different sports and the intimacy of the event? How much does that have to play in this?
I don't really think that has as much to do with it in terms of the players' reaction to each other. It might have something to do with the fan reaction or involvement with players because of the proximity and that sort of thing. But with regard to how athletes are reacting in the spirit of the contest and when they get challenged or whatever, that's more to do with the culture of sport. That has more to do with the culture of masculinity and the culture in our society. And so given that this show is dedicated oftentimes to youth sports, that's where a lot of that education has to start, where people that are working with young kids at an early age start to break down those stereotypes around what it means to be an athlete and to be tough and to be a man, and try to give them a different type of definition so that they don't feel like they have to step to somebody every time somebody says something about them. They can turn the other cheek and say, hey, I'm more interested in what's best for my teammates and myself, as opposed to living up to some other expectation.
Of course, there's the pressure of the head coach when Isaiah Thomas, who's a legend himself, tells you, hey, you need to take this guy down because they're running up the score. It makes it a little bit more complex. Kevin Young, who 12-season career, 260 batting average, 144 home runs, 606 RBIs, but he had three big years in 97, 98, 99 with the Pirates. And, you know, you had a high-level stage, and today you take advantage of this. Tell me what you say to kids so they can make that very difficult distinction between the coach is trying to tell them that being macho means you've got to back up your teammate in terms of violence, and what real manhood's about.
I think the biggest thing you relate to the kids is just the simple fact that having self-control in everything we do. As an athlete, obviously you are ahead of some of the other kids because you have a gift, and not to abuse that gift in certain ways. You go out and you have the right mindset is what we try to teach the kids, and never show a lot of emotion on the field. We try to tell them, you know, at least at that moment, be able to go to the dugout where they're able to sit there, and if they, you know, they want to, you know, yell or scream or something of that nature, but put it away from the field. Get it. Don't let it be seen by other teammates, other coaches, other parents, and things of that nature. But go to that place where you have a moment And what that does, it'll allow them to at least have time to rethink the situations that they've been in, and give them opportunity to do that. So with the kids, I think that's very important, and having good coaching really makes a difference when it comes to that.
We're going to be talking about good coaching and more in our next segment. We want to thank Kevin Young, one of the great role models out there. Check out Kevin Young. Find out what he's doing. Make sure your kids follow people like Kevin Young who get it right. Thanks, Kevin, for joining us.
Thank you, Nick, for having me. Have a good holiday.
Bless you, my friend. And Peter Roby, you are doing some of the great work in this country. How do people find out more about your violence prevention programs?
Well, they can go to www.sportinsociety.org to learn more about our programs, Nick. Thank you so much for having me on.
You bet. We appreciate it. When we come back, we're going to be talking with Dr. Andrew Jacobs and Fred Eng from the National Alliance for Youth Sports, and then an author, Al Rosenfeld, and his book about kids that are being pushed much, much too hard. We'll be right back on Sports Byline and Sirius Satellite Channel 122.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There is a tremendous price war among the major term life companies, and you may be paying too much. Consider these possible rates. A man, age 45, non-tobacco user, issue preferred, $1 million of coverage, is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man, age 50, non-tobacco user, issue preferred, can obtain $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $113, guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right. Guaranteed level rates for the next 20 years. If you're a smoker, there are great rates available for you as well. Termbusters specializes in term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more. So call this number now for a free quote.
800-430-6715. 800-430-6715. Call 24-7. 800-430-6715. 800-430-6715.
Are you losing your hair? Is that bald spot getting bigger? Is your hair looking thinner? Why aren't you using Avacor, the hair growth treatment that's helped thousands of people just like you regrow their hair?
It's been 3 months now I've been on Avacor, and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old.
We're giving away a free month of Avacor with all of today's orders. Avacor is proven to successfully stop hair loss and regrow hair. Call 800-450-9743 for your risk-free trial of Avacor. Call now. 800-450-9743. All of today's orders will receive an additional month's supply of Avacor absolutely free.
Avacor really works. I just love it. It's like a miracle. I couldn't be happier.
Satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. That's 800-450-9743. 800-450-9743.
Do you want to own a brand new computer and improve your credit score at the same time? If you have less than perfect credit but can afford a weekly payment of $29.99 for just 12 months, then you're already approved for a brand new Dell, HP, or other name brand computer. Guaranteed.
Bad credit? No problem. There's no credit check, so you won't be turned down. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a weekly payment of $29.99 for just 12 months, you're approved for your brand new name brand computer. Call 800-787-2816. Guaranteed Consumer Funding says you're approved. Give us a call today at 800-787-2816 to have your brand new computer shipped right to you. Act now. We'll add over $700 in premium upgrades and an MP3 player for free. And with select models, we'll throw in a free printer. So get the computer of your dreams today and improve your credit at the same time. Call 800-787-2816. That's 800-787-2816.
There's 95 guys or 97 doing the right thing the right way and two or three jerks. So two or three jerks get 97% of the attention.
Join Head Games Radio. Call 800-878-PLAY. That's 800-878-7529. And now, here's your host, Nick Lowry.
We want to thank Peter Roby from the Center for the Study of Sport and Society. Gosh, two great people. Kevin Young, the kind of people. Fred Eng from the National Alliance for Youth Sports. All these long names. But Fred, when you listen to a Kevin Young and a Peter Roby, it does give you a sense that there is hope, that there are athletes that truly do get it.
Oh, isn't that the greatest part, especially this time of year, to know that there are some wonderful people, and as always, you get that great quote that 97% of the people are great people out there and 3% screw it all up, and that's so true.
And we're also joined by Dr. Andy Jacobs. Andy, don't screw this up now, buddy. Just kidding.
Don't project your own problems onto me, Nick.
Okay, well, we're going to talk about The Overscheduled Child, a book by Al Rosenfeld. Al will join us at 35 past the hour to begin to talk about this. It's about what he describes as the contemporary anxiety, the stress that parents feel that they push onto their kids. Let's start with Fred. You see this all the time, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I'm excited to have Dr. Rosenfeld on the show today because I've heard him speak, and he really knows the subject very well out there of overscheduling. Today's parent, the way they behave so much with their kid of overscheduling them, and especially when it comes to sports. But I think it's kind of neat that Andy's on the show today from a psychological standpoint, and we'll see what happens.
Andy, there's so many parents and some of my very close friends that talk about this all the time. They find themselves in a whirlwind that they can't get out of, where all they're doing is coaching or driving their kids from one sporting event to another, and it's absolutely wearing them out and hurting their relationship with their kids.
Well, Nick, it happens all the time, and I've seen it myself. My sons are now 17 and 15, but when they were younger, I recall being at a soccer game, and a mom came to pick her son up early because he had to get to his piano lesson. And then we're at a baseball game, and that same mom was picking him up to take him to a soccer practice. So there's constant pressure to have to go from here to there. And I think what it comes down to is we see people comparing themselves to everybody else. Well, Johnny's doing this, my son better do this. Or, gosh, Janie's doing that, well, we better get her on the softball team. And I think there's pressure from a lot of parents feel to keep up with everybody else and have their kids doing all the things that everybody else is doing. And the consequence is they double book and triple book themselves to the point that they're out of control.
So what do you do when a parent who loves their kid wants to do the right thing, Dr. Jacobs, and doesn't want the kid to have to make choices, wants them to do whatever comes to their mind is something they enjoy, and suddenly they find themselves with piano lessons, with a soccer game, with a basketball practice, and suddenly they've taken on too much?
Well, I think you have to do a reality check, Nick. I think most parents get caught up in the whirlwind lifestyle that we live today, of going from here to there and there to here. And I think sometimes people need to take a step back and to do what I always call a reality check. Ask yourself, wait a minute, are we getting the best out of everything we can do right now? How are we doing too much? Do we have time? You know, the main question is this. Do you have time to sit down as a family unit together at the dinner table and have a nice, peaceful meal at home? Or is somebody always gone? And if you can't find a day during the week, at least 2 days during the week, where you cannot sit down as an entire family unit and sit down and eat together, you've got a problem. Fred, what do you think about that?
Man, I don't know one family that I know of today that has kids that are growing up, you know, that sits down and has dinner together anymore. I mean, it's a lost art, and obviously, as you point out, Andy, it's a lost thing that's happening with the development of kids and understanding family. You know, that whole aspect that at least it was the way when I grew up and my kids grew up, but I don't see that anymore in all my kids and grandkids.
Well, but
we want to take your calls too, guys. We want to make sure we open up the lines to all the great people out there with the National Alliance for Youth Sports that are listening in, that you give us a call and give us a sense of the reality that you deal with. When it's, even if you're trained in this, suddenly, when it's your own kids, it's very difficult. Give us a call at 800-878-7529. Give us a sense of some of the challenges, the difficult choices that parents and their kids have to learn to make so that they have a sense that character, that relationships are more important than awards.
Nick, what I was going to say in response to Fred's comments there is, he's exactly right, but I think it comes down to the parents to sit down and say, you know, Sunday night, Thursday night, whatever. You can find a night, at least one night in the week, when you all can sit down. It's just a matter of scheduling it. And you have to decide what's important. Is our family important, or do we have to make sure everybody's happy? If you tell the coach, you know, we don't go to practices on Sunday night for a kid's sports league, and say we have a family meal, that's our time to sit down. If the coach doesn't like it, well, you know what, that's your decision. But you have to make that choice as a parent. When are we going to spend time together as a family? Because that it is a lost art, and I think that's one of the problems we have today with a lot of kids and parents.
you could call it hyper-parenting. There's this phenomenon that parents really have no sense of boundaries, Fred. They don't have a sense that there's ever enough that they can do.
Well, then that's absolutely true, and that's a good lead-in for Dr. Rosenfeld. As I say, he's probably, in my opinion, the best expert in America in this whole area, and that's why he wrote the book about hyper-parenting. And so we'll hear some interesting things when he comes on.
What are some of the examples, Dr. Jacobs, when you have seen kids come to you that have developed a neurosis? They developed a confusion in terms of what's important to the point where it's actually affecting their mental and physical health.
Well, the main thing that I see with a lot of kids is I have a lot of kids who are high performers. They're honor roll students. They're top-notch athletes at high school and in college. But the predominating common factor for all of them seems to be a fear of not pleasing their parents or their coaches. And it stems from, I think, when they're younger, about wanting to please mom or dad. And oftentimes, if mom or dad is their coach in the youth sports league, that pressure gets even greater because they feel they have to be toeing the line with everything they do. Their behavior has to be right. They have to be the best a player on the team, they have to be the best behaved. And I think there develops a fear out of these kids that if they're not perfect, at least in how their parents view them, then they're screwing up, and it can develop a lot of anxieties for them.
Well, but the problem with saying that you're going to set down your own limits and you're going to have that one day a week that you have a dinner together, the problem is then the coach says, fine, you're off the team because everybody has to be subject to the same rules.
Well, you're right, but that is a big problem. But I think you have to sit down and decide. You can schedule around practices. You can schedule around games. But I think as a family, if you really want to keep that family unit intact, you can find a time during. There isn't a practice 7 nights a week. But if you're involved in 3 or 4 activities, there's probably something going on every night. You just have to balance out and schedule around it. And it can be done, Nick, but it's about communication and it's about coordination, and I think it's about setting parameters. I think anybody who has their kids in more than 3 activities, and Fred, what do you think about this? I think 3 activities is more than enough for a middle school or younger kid to be involved with at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
But you know, the thing that I always say about sports is with parents, are these kids really wanting to get into that particular activity, or are they being forced because of what you said before, that Billy down the street's playing softball and soccer and whatever else there, and art and music and drama, so I better get my kids involved in all of that also? Because in reality, you know, you see all these shows and whatnot, the parents are out there living in neighborhoods and whatnot, and they compare themselves to who is next door and their kids and what they're doing for themselves. They don't want to look like they're not doing enough for their kids, and they force them into these things, and that's where it's really bad.
Well, you're exactly right.
We're joined by Dr. Alvin Rosenfeld, who was on the Today Show talking about his book, The Overscheduled Child, Avoiding the Hyper-Parenting Trap. Dr. Rosenfeld, thanks for taking the time to join us.
Oh, thank you for having me here today.
Well, you're a psychiatrist. You look at the statistics. One poll, 86% of parents believe their kids are overscheduled. Kids have 100% more scheduled activities than 20 years ago, 50% fewer unscheduled activities, far fewer family meals like we just talked about. Is there any way out of this?
Oh, I think there are a lot of ways out. Look at much of the media, what's said to be important. They're winning the awards and getting up at that award ceremony. In my understanding and seeing patients in the studies I read, what really matters in making a life good or bad are 2 things. One is the relationships, and 2 is the capacity for real play. And those are the 2 things that we're really doing away with. We're ignoring.
Well, let's define real play, because for me, we've talked about this, Fred and Andy, on the show before. I've had coaches say, when we send our players, they're great players when we have a scheduled practice, but they just have no ability to set their own discipline, to develop their own way of practicing, which, of course, can also restore their sense of joy for the game.
I don't think there's any sort of joy for the game when winning is everything. You know, as Fred Ang has said, you know, 78% kids would rather play on a team that loses than sit on the bench and warm it for a team that wins. The sense of real play involves not having to have a purpose. You're just there for the pleasure. You're for the pleasure of moving your body, or the pleasure of passing a ball, for the pleasure of being out there with your friends. And that's really been lost. It's all about winning. So we've abolished child labor, but we've essentially made child athletes into full-time workers.
Dr. Jacobs, we're going to let you go here in the last minute of this segment, and we're going to let you have a beautiful vacation in Miami with your kids. What do you do with your own kids? In the next 30 seconds, tell us what you do to make sure you have unscheduled time.
Well, we always make, you know, I get their team schedules for the things they're doing, but we always plan out time where there's time where they don't have anything to do. They can do whatever they want, whether that's sleep, watch TV, go to the movies. We have time, we schedule to basically be downtime that they can do what they want. And, you know, there's a good balance of that with them and me, and we have time together, and that's what we're going to be doing for the next week, being on vacation.
Well, Dr. Jacobs, thanks for joining us, and thanks for being a good role model, because I've seen and witnessed the fact that you make very consistent time for your kids, and because of that, they know exactly where they stand in their relationship with you. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Nick. Everybody, happy holidays. Appreciate it.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. We'll be right back with Dr. Alvin Rosenfeld and Fred Eng on U Sports and the hyper-parenting trap. Can you get out of it? Stay with us.
Smart business people know the difference between success and failure lies in the ability to grow. Being limited by your current facility adds up to lost productivity and, even worse, lost revenue. You've looked at the price to build, but have you considered the cost of not building? With interest rates still attractive, now is the time to build that warehouse, manufacturing, or retail space you need. A pre-engineered steel building from General Steel will save you up to half the cost of a similar conventionally built structure, and it'll be erected in about half the time. From airplane hangars to riding arenas, gymnasiums, and churches. Expand quickly and save money.
Call the General right now for your free estimate. 800-965-1298, 800-965-1298. And learn about our $20,000 rebate offer. 800-965-1298, 800-965-1298, 800-965-1298.
Hi, everybody. This is Nick Lowry, and I want to tell you about the most beautiful golf course I've ever played. It's called Quintero. It's already ranked in the top 10 in the country as a real estate golf course. I'm telling you, it is the most outstanding combination of beautiful fairways and views you will ever see. If you want to join one of the most outstanding new private courses in the country, go to QuinteroGolf.com or call 888-417-8468. That's 888-41-QUINT or 888-417-8468.
Keep the adventure in your travels, not your drinking water. Go ahead, take the road less traveled, because now you can have purified drinking water anytime, anywhere, just by packing a simple 8-ounce tool. SteriPen is compact, chemical-free, and kills over 99.99% of all unhealthy organisms in your drinking water within seconds. SteriPen is simple to use, so you can enjoy the journey and the drinking water. Available at REI stores everywhere, or go to REI.com. SteriPen, safe drinking water anywhere.
Do you have dry skin, cracked heels, hard calluses, or corns? Then use Cracked Heel Skin Softener from Blue Goo. Cracked Heel has lecithin, lanolin, and beeswax, plus emu oil to penetrate and soften the skin. Just massage Cracked Heel into your feet twice a day and feel the difference. Your feet will thank you. No more pain from cracked heels, hard calluses, or corns. Make your next step a comfortable one with Cracked Heel Skin Softener. Available at Walmart, Walgreens, Rite Aid, and Duane Reade.
Now, every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, join hosts Fred Mowry, Robin Farley, and Charlie Knox on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network and Sirius Satellite Channel 122 for the Joe Average Poker Radio Show. Whether you're new to the game or a seasoned pro, Joe Average Poker is your show for all the information needed for today's poker player. The latest poker news, insightful interviews, and strategies to improve your game are discussed every week. Tuesday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific for the Joe Average Poker Radio Show on the Sports Byline USA Broadcast Network and Sirius Satellite Channel 122.
It takes the same thing to get to the Super Bowl and win that it takes to get there and lose. You know, it's not the NBA where you got a 7-game series once you get in that in the final. You got to get it done that day.
And now back to Head Games Radio with Nick Lowry. Join the conversation now by calling 800-878-PLAY. That's 800-878-7529.
Welcome back to Head Games with Dr. Alvin Rosenfeld, who's written a book, The Overscheduled Child, Avoiding the Hyper-Parenting Trap. The most competitive sport is not golf anymore, it's parenting. Tell us what you mean by that, Dr. Rosenfeld.
Well, I think that what's happened is 50 years ago, parents felt that if they provided their kids with an education, with food, clothing, and some activities, they had done a pretty good job. But in the last 20 years, parenting has become the most competitive sport. Parents feel that they have to keep up with the Joneses. There are so many parenting magazines telling them how to build a better boy, how to make a more responsible child, how to build a more successful child, that parents feel it's their obligation to give their child every enrichment activity possible so that they can succeed in life. And they feel that if they don't, that their child's got to be a failure. So they're very anxious. The media, I think, play enormously on parents' anxieties about whether they know how to be good parents, and are driving all of us into a frenzy that's quite destructive to our families.
Fred, from your point of view, how difficult has it been over the last 20, 30 years in your work with the National Alliance for Youth Sports to get this message across that sports can be a way to learn how relationships, not just in sport, but the way that parents and kids relate to each other, the sense of savoring life, savoring the moment, can be restored?
I think the National Association...
Well, first of all, I want to say thanks, Al, for coming on the show, and appreciate it, because as I mentioned before you were on, you are the nation's leading expert in this whole area. But, you know, the thing is, with your question, Nick, is how do we try to get it across to parents? You know, it's really kind of like a tidal wave of trying to talk to people that makes sense to them, of keeping things in perspective. I mean, historically, it's amazing, and I'm curious to what, Al, your response to this. When all this began with Little League back in the early 40s, the kids were out there 9 to 12 years old, and then all of a sudden the parents said, well, my kid's 8 years old or 7, and he's as good as that kid on second base. So they created 7 and 8-year-old. The same thing happened. They created what became T-ball, 5 and 6-year-old. Now they had 3 and 4. That is all pressured because parents want to keep getting their kids. That was before all the hyper-parenting. And my question is, why does this occur within the individual parent? Why is that need to do that?
Well, first thing I want to say, you know, Fred Eng and the National Association of Youth Sports are in the voice of sanity in the midst of this tidal wave. And I'm not so sure how well you can hear a sane voice in the midst of a tidal wave. So I think that's been the dilemma. Now, what's really gone on? What's happened is, parents are being sold a vision that you really have to start as early as possible. It's a Tiger Woods image. You know, show your kids a golf swing at 18 months and they're going to end up as Tiger Woods. I bet for every million parents who show their kid a golf swing at 18 months, there's a quarter of a Tiger Woods somewhere in the country. It doesn't happen. It doesn't work. It's an exception. There's no evidence that starting early, this early, helps. There's no evidence that it works. In fact, it may make a lot of neurotic, anxious children.
So, well, there's the sense that there's nothing that they can do that's enough, that they'll always have to do more. In fact, part of that is
always
this increase in 3.5 million stress-related, recreation-linked injuries every single year for kids 5 to 14.
It's astounding.
That's out of control.
It's astounding, isn't it?
It is, and it's happening with all of us. I mean, I know I don't have kids yet. I know that's going to be the challenge I'm going to have to face is finding that sense of normalcy. We don't have three television channels that give us all our information. We have a million radio. We have internet, which is taking over. We have television all over the place. How do you have consistent messages without becoming a dictatorship?
Well, I think it's not about consistent messages or about a dictatorship. What it is, it is about a sense in yourself of what you truly believe in, what you think is right, what makes a difference, and acting accordingly. Because it's like the notion of, in other words, discipline. We all hear we want our kids to have some discipline. Well, discipline comes from disciple, and the disciples wanted to emulate Christ. Why? Not because they were afraid of him, not because they wanted him just to be proud of them, but because they felt that he stood for a life and a way of being and a way of conducting oneself that was the right way to live. To our kids, we are also gods, especially the young ones, and they imitate, emulate, and follow the example we set. Are we rushing frenetically all the time? Or do we treat our friends with some respect? Do we care about reading a book, or do we just tell them they ought to do well at school? Do we have fun playing a sport, or do we just have to win, or we come home and break the golf club?
What I find is working with kids in my own way is that they also see the end result. They see the success stories. They see the big contracts. They never tend to see at any realistic level the kind of sacrifice, the kind of hard work, the kind of heartbreak that people have to put themselves through to be at the highest level.
Well, they also don't see something else, which I'm afraid to say. I hope I don't get into trouble for this, but I know a number of professional athletes, and some of them, a number of gold medalists in the Olympics. And one of the things that's almost universal is that the highest level of competitive sports involves either getting out of poverty or getting out of a house in which you were miserable, and where the coach and the team provided you some sanity or some opportunity.
Fred, one of the other issues also, which is what makes it so complex, is that, for instance, with America's Promise, it works with youth that I've worked with, the Colin Powell's program, security, a safe place, that part of the problem is parents are convinced that if they leave their kids alone just to have fun, they let them go out to run and play, that they won't be safe, that they will be threatened by drugs, by gangs, by violence, that can do far more damage than keeping them safe and secure in their own home.
Well, you know, that's very true today beyond where it used to be and not that long ago. I remember with recreation departments in the urban area, the biggest problem that they had were kids being able to go out and participate, and they couldn't. And because in these large cities, the parents were afraid sending them down to what used to be a nice ball field or a play area or a gym is now, you know, drug-ridden area. And so it becomes such an important thing at the urban area. Now that same feeling spreads out to the rural areas of America because of what you mentioned, you know, that there's crime and you know, all of the negative things that parents are feared of. But I've got another question I want to ask Al.
Can I interrupt you for a second, Fred, just about
sure.
that? I'm sorry to be rude. You know what the greatest story in America is among the middle class and affluent areas? The greatest untold story is the immense and enormous drop in the national crime rate. In fact, the reality is you're much safer today than 20 years ago. The crime rate has dropped amazingly. Look at the FBI statistics. And yet we're constantly made frightened. All those kids on the milk cartons who are missing and we can't find them, a very large majority of them have been kidnapped by relatives in a custody dispute.
So you're saying it's a myth?
It's a myth. It's a total, complete myth. Now, not in some of the inner cities, but in most of the country, the FBI statistics show that the greatest story of the last 20 years is the immense drop in the crime rate.
Wow.
So what are we going to do?
Myth.
So let's look at this thing too, Dr. Rosenfeld. We just had Kevin Young on in the first segment in baseball, African American. There are only 9% African Americans in baseball, but I would argue part of the problem is that they don't have baseball fields in the inner city, so they go to basketball courts. That's the only place that can be remotely safe for them. What do we do to restore the choices so kids can truly have the opportunity to develop themselves as artists, not just as athletes, to explore the unknown?
Well, I know quite a number of successful African-American athletes, and most of them say, what I would advise you is to get an education. Because one out of 25,000 make it in the NBA or the NFL, but there sure is a lot of need for doctors and lawyers and Indian chiefs. And so what we're doing, in fact, and I think Brian Gumbel was enraged about this, that the NCAA is pushing an idea and you making billions of dollars in athletics, and yet what percentage of kids who are African-Americans who are coming out of the ghetto getting these athletic scholarships, what percentage of them actually graduate in college in 4 years? And what percentage of them are being used unpaid as professional athletes to make billions of dollars for the schools?
You know what? You're preaching to the choir here. And what I'd like is for people to join this discussion and let us know what your challenges are, because without, as you say, the dose of sanity that organizations like the National Alliance for Youth Sports provide, we are headed down. If this was a tidal wave, then it's going to be at a higher level. If it's possible for that tide to rise, it will continue to.
Well, may I give a slight bit of sanity?
Please.
You have a very brief, cherished time with your child. Before long, they'll be as old as mine, maybe as old as Fred, and they're off and they're gone on their own. And that's a time where family and relationships can develop. Where it's a unique dance. You do it your own way. You get to know these wonderful children who are your blood. If you turn it over to a Romanian gymnastics coach or a Canadian ice hockey coach, you've turned over the greatest joy in your life to someone else. Not
Let me throw a curve at you.
Go.
I just did an interview with the Associated Press about, and you may have read the story recently, that in Oklahoma, a kid killed his father after years of abuse, and it was focused around the fact that the kid didn't meet his expectations as a parent. Now, what you're talking about is obviously for the sane parent out there to really spend the time and care about their kids, which most of us love to do. But what do you do, and where do you think this whole aspect comes in, where the parent jumps over that line and is abusive in their efforts, in this case, that the youngster ended up murdering his father and chopping him, putting him in a freezer, and his obviously horrendous situation, but the kid is saying that it was because of all these years of abuse that the parent put on them to meet their expectations.
Well, I don't know the case, and I've known plenty of pushy parents, and none of them have yet been murdered. So I think it's sort of an exceptional case, and we'd have to know a lot more about it to know what happened. But sure, there are parents who, out of their own anxiety or out of their own wanting to live through the kids, are pushing the kids too hard. And I don't find that, frankly, I can do anything about that. I other than feel sorry for the kid. But there's 98% of parents who are really trying hard, who are well-intentioned, and who are following the herd and think that it's somebody else who knows how to raise their kid. And I'm not against organized sports. I think they're terrific. And I'm not against coaches. And I'm not against tutors, if it helps your kids. But I'm against imbalance and making your family life so unbalanced so that your kid can play Sunday ice hockey.
Well, we've got to restore some balance. We have things called commercials coming up in a few seconds. When we come back, let's find out more about how you can get this book, The Overscheduled Child, Avoiding the Hyper-Parenting Trap, and more importantly, get involved with the National Alliance for Youth Sports so that we can restore the sanity we're talking about. We'll be right back on Sports Byline and Sirius Satellite. Stay with us.
Hey, Tanya Roberts here, and I want to know, where are you going on your next romantic getaway? Well, how about 3 days and two nights in Las Vegas? And what about you don't pay a dime for it? That's right. Act like a high roller in Vegas and pay nothing for it. It's all part of our celebration of Vegas' newest five-star resort, Tahiti Village. We want you to get out of Dodge. Stir up a little romantic magic in the most exciting city on Earth with a complimentary second honeymoon, all on Tahiti Village. Come on, you know you deserve it. You know you want it. Las Vegas is calling. So stop what you're doing and call the special toll-free number, 866-50-GO-WIN. Oh, and as a bonus, if you call right now, they're going to throw in tickets to a hot show right on the strip. Can we say high roller treatment, baby? So call 866-50-GO-WIN for all the exciting details. That's 866-50-GO-WIN. Call now.
How would you like to cut your credit card payments by 30% or more? Genesis Financial can help. They have a program that can reduce your high interest rates to single digits or even 0%. You can get more cash in your pocket every month to ease the stress and burden of excessive credit card bills.
Genesis Financial helped us, so we can sleep at night again.
We can even answer our phone.
The weight's been lifted off our shoulders.
Working with Genesis, we truly feel like our prayers were answered.
Get a fresh start without going bankrupt, plus get hundreds of dollars back in your pocket. Call now for a free, no-obligation consultation. Let them show you how to cut your debt by 30% or more and save you thousands in interest, late fees, and penalties. The consultation is absolutely free. Call 800-470-4331. That's 800-470-4331. Don't wait another minute.
Genesis Financial gave us our life back.
Not available in all states. Individual results may vary. Genesis Financial, 800-470-4331.
Hi, I'm Robert Wagner with an important message for homeowners 62 years or older. If you own a home, you may be able to pay off your current mortgage or access the equity in your home without making any monthly loan payments. That's right, no monthly loan payments. A U.S. government-insured reverse mortgage allows you to convert the equity in your home into cash, giving you the financial independence you deserve. The tax-free proceeds won't affect Social Security or Medicare benefits, and you can use the money for almost any purpose you desire. The Senior Lending Network program has prepared a free educational video that explains how a reverse mortgage works, how to qualify, and how you can supplement your income without any monthly loan payments. If you're a homeowner 62 years or older, your free video is waiting. So call now.
For a free educational video from the Senior Lending Network on reverse mortgages, call 800-995-4280. 800-995-4280.
Senior Lending Network is a program by Mortgage Warehouse, a licensed mortgage banker, New York State Banking Department. Callers' information will be shared with lenders who are members of the program. Consult your tax advisor regarding tax implications.
Welcome back to Head Games Radio on Sirius Satellite. We want to thank Peter Roby from the Center for the Study of Sport and Society on this special Friday show, which is all about especially going into the holidays. If you're getting caught up buying gifts, as one example, Dr. Rosenfeld, if you're getting caught up buying gifts, if you're getting caught up going through traffic and swearing at people and feeling stressed out, that's not really building a great family, is it?
No, it isn't. Building a great family is sitting around watching a movie, shooting hoops, talking, going fishing.
Talking?
Talk. Well, you know, we don't do
what
that
a
anymore.
Concept.
And looking inward is something we do even less. But my fondest memories are just sitting on a deck of a party boat, fishing with my dad. We didn't have any profound conversations. We didn't have anything big happen. But the fact that he could leave his business and would sit on the deck of that boat and just fish with me did more to bolster my self-esteem than anything he could have said, any team I could have been on, because he was interested in me that day.
It's that sense of being unconditionally loved. Fred, in final minute here, how can people learn more about the programs, especially Game On? Tell us about that in 30 seconds, my friend.
Well, Game On is our main function around the world now, is bringing the value of sports and all the things that we've been talking about here. And you know, with Dr. Rosenfeld, as I say, is America's leading expert in this area. I just hope that somebody listening and reading his book would end up looking at themselves and saying to each other, husband and wife, you know, this is stupid. Why don't we just turn this back and be a family? Why are we doing all these stupid things? And I think a lot of people are doing that after listening to him and all the things he's professing.
Well, thanks for joining us, Fred and Dr. Rosenfeld. We'd love to have you on again. Your book is The Overscheduled Child, Avoiding the Hyperparenting Trap. How do people get that?
You can get it on Amazon or BNN, but I have to say it's an enormous honor for me to be on the same show as Fred Eng and with you, Nick. Fred is the greatest voice around for sanity in sports, so I'm honored to be on the same platform with him.
Well, bless you for joining us, and we'd love to have you on again. Thanks for listening to Head Games Radio. We want to thank people like Merrill Hodge, Seth Joyner, Rick Bucher from ESPN, Jared Bell from USA Today, Mike Slide, the BCS Commissioner, Mike D'Antoni, Kevin Young, Peter Roby, and many more that were on the show this week. Have a great Christmas. We'll have a special show with Bob Costas on Christmas Day. Go to Head Games Radio for all the highlights. Take care. Be safe.